Welcome to the Next Generation Podcast, the show where we feature youth shooting sports competitors of the past and present. Here's your host from the Clover Talk Studio, deep within the heart of Texas, Chris Dover.
Hi, I'm Chris Dover, and welcome to the Next Generation Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking with Max White, who is a youth shooting sports competitor from the state of Georgia. But first, we want to talk about one of our sponsors for this season on The Next Generation, and that is Hunters HD Gold. Now, if you hadn't checked out Hunters HD Gold eyewear yet, you might want to do that. They use a photochromatic lens that's sort of like those transition lenses. The lenses are made out of Trivex, which is basically the same stuff they use in the cockpit of fighter jets. So pretty high-tech stuff. And they also offer their awesome eyewear in prescription as well. So if you're serious about shooting sports or hunting, then you need to get over there and check out huntershdgold.com. All right, crew, help me welcome our guest for this week. We have Max on the line. How are you, kiddo?
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. And I'm glad that we could do this. Glad that you could make it. Just before we get started here, let's set... Let's kind of set the tone a little bit. How old are you, Max?
I'm 11 years old.
11 years old. Awesome. And what grade are you going into?
Eighth grade.
That's, wow, that was a long time ago for me. And what is, what state do y'all live in?
South Georgia.
So you're one of them, you're a southern boy then. Nothing wrong with that. I know I'd seen some pictures on your Instagram. Looks like you were doing some fishing and caught a shark, so I was kind of curious where you were out of. What's the story behind that, catching the shark?
Well, that's just a little bit outside of Savannah.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all go fishing like that a lot?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And what, do you fish off of piers or the beach or a boat, or how do y'all normally do that?
Fish off piers.
Okay. What's the biggest fish you've caught?
That one.
Oh, okay. Now, have you eaten any shark? Did you take that one home and eat him or turn him loose?
No, he's enough to keep.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, let's move into your shooting sports stuff. Talk about that a little bit. Do you remember the first time that you got to go shooting?
Well, that was about when I was 4 and I shot a Red Ryder. And then from there, I worked up to a 22, and then when I was about 7, I got a 410.
Okay, well, what was I getting that shotgun like? Shotguns are a little rough sometimes.
I got upset at my dad because it kicked me pretty hard when I shot the water bottle, but the water bottle blew up, so I thought it was exciting.
Right. The fun was worth it. Is that what you're saying?
Sir.
Now, when did you start thinking that you wanted to shoot competitively with stuff?
A little over a year ago, and I shot at an indoor range at my first match ever.
And what kind of match was that?
It was like a USPSA style match.
Okay. And what, did you shoot pistol with that, or was it PCC? What class did you shoot?
Pistol.
Pistol, okay. What kind of pistol?
It was a 22-45.
Okay, so rimfire. Now, I see you on, like I said, on your Instagram and stuff on there, and looks like you get to play around with a lot of cool guns here and there.
Definitely, Ortiz does a lot of builds,
mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of neat stuff over there. You should go check them out.
Okay, and where are they at?
Savannah, Georgia.
They're out in Savannah. Okay. So what's the favorite one you've seen in there?
I like them all.
I hear you. There's not anything wrong with that. What is the type of competition you shoot now currently?
Steel Challenge, IPSC, USPSA, and a little bit of IDPA.
Okay, so you do pretty much everything. Now, do you shoot mostly rimfire, or do you shoot some centerfire as well?
I shoot equal amounts of rimfire and centerfire.
Okay, cool. And what pistol are you using for your centerfire?
It's an Ortiz custom open gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 9mm?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The first match you went to, that you said that was an indoor match. What was that like going to that first match?
I thought it was pretty exciting because getting to compete against other people, because I never did that before.
Right. And were you nervous at all?
Not really.
With being new, did you find that the other people there at the match, did you find that they were really helpful and patient with you?
Yeah, I found that they were pretty helpful.
And did it take you a little bit to, I'm assuming, of course, here, that the rules for all of these different matches, the rules are all a little bit different, right?
Yes.
So with some of the ones you shoot, can you give us a little bit of a explanation on how they're different?
Well, Steel Challenge, you run 5 strings and they drop your slowest one. Unlike USPSA, you run 1, but you get to walk the course before.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, you said you had 5 strings on Steel Challenge. So that's 5. You got 5 shots of 5 string, 5 strings of 5 shots, if I can say that correctly, right?
Yes, and there's 8 stages in total.
Oh, wow, okay. So that takes a while then to shoot the Steel Challenge course, correct?
Correct.
Okay. About how long normally does something like that take?
If they start at probably like 8 o'clock, it might take anywhere from noon to 4.
Wow. Okay. So it probably just depends on how many people are signed up for the match.
Definitely. Well, some of them, they do like 5 or they'll do 6, so it all depends.
Okay. Gotcha. And with Steel Challenge, there's different stages, of course. Which is your favorite stage for Steel Challenge, or do you have one?
I like Outer Limits.
Okay. That's the one, they're kind of spread out on that one, aren't they?
Yes, you have to move in the boxes.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know, you almost have to kind of shoot them in a circle, I think, if I remember correctly on that one.
Well, you have 2 placed in the first box and then 3 in the second box.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like, Smoke and Hope is really popular. A lot of people like the Smoke and Hope. I'm not sure why, but they do. Now, as far as the stage that you shoot the fastest, is that Outer Limits, or is there another stage that you are the fastest on?
Well, I shot the fastest ever on Roundabout at Nationals.
Roundabout's a little tough. I'm talking about, you know, maybe for new people. Do you have a specific way that you shoot the targets in Steel Challenge? You shoot that you found is quicker to shoot them?
Every once in a while I'll change just to see, but most of the time I shoot them the same every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess that's the best way to practice it, right? Just do it the same over and over until you get used to it.
Yeah, most of the time.
Now, what's different about, Ipsic or one of those other ones compared to Steel Challenge?
They have paper, and you do a lot of moving and reloading.
Okay.
And you can't fire.
With the number of shots that you have to shoot, is there a lot more shots per stage than Steel Challenge?
Well, if you shot it clean, you would shoot 25, and in USPSA or IPSC, it can be anywhere from 6 to 40.
Wow, okay. 40's a lot on a stage. I'm guessing that's multiple reloads.
Depends on what division you're shooting.
Okay. What division are you in again?
Carry Optics and Open and PCC.
Oh, okay. Okay. With your firearms that you use for those 3 divisions, what guns are you using?
For Open, I'm using a Brazos for USPSA. For Carry Optics, I'm using a SIG P320, and for PCC, I'm using a Cora C9.
Once you got done with that first match, were there things that you learned from going to that first match, things that you learned that you needed to practice on?
Yes. Well, I needed to practice on some reloading and a little bit of movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the movement is, that's probably kind of difficult. Do you, with something like that, are you shooting as you're moving, or do you stop and take the shot and then move on to the next target?
It depends on how far the shot is or the way it's set up.
Okay. So that's one of them things where you kind of have to read the stage beforehand.
Yes.
And then about how long from the time you get to look at the stage, about how long is it before you actually have to shoot it? Do you have time to kind of think about it?
They give you a 5-minute walkthrough, and then your squad starts shooting.
Okay. So it would kind of depend, the time you would have would kind of depend on where you fall within that squad, I guess. With the squads, that probably depends on the amount of people signed up for the match, I'm sure. But how many typically are in a squad?
Probably 8 to 14.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty big. I wouldn't have expected you to say a number that big. Wow. And is there a lot of other junior competitors out there that you see when you go to these competitions, or is it?
There's juniors out there, but definitely not as many as a lot of people would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about the girls versus the boys? Do you see more girl competitors than boys, or more boys than girls, or is it pretty even?
I mean, the girls are starting to get really into the shooting sports, and you're starting to see a lot more girls.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the girls hard to beat?
Not really.
They may disagree with you, so you better be careful there. We'll talk about your practicing a little bit. What does your practice schedule look like?
Whatever we feel like.
Okay. Do you have to go to a range to practice, or do you have a range at your house or on land that you guys own? How does that work?
Our friend has land that he lets us practice on.
Okay. And you're able to set up different stages and that type of stuff there, or is it just kind of static practice?
You can pretty much do anything there. It's a big open field.
Very nice. Well, that's very nice. And about how often do you get to go out and practice?
Every day.
Really? Okay. So live fire, actually, every day.
Yes.
That's nice. What about dry firing? Do you dry fire at home and run through drills that way, reloading and dry fire and things like that?
Not really. Not much.
Okay. Do it pretty much all on live fire when you go do the live fire then?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that would make sense if you're able to go every day. Good gravy. That's crazy.
Depends on if we're going fishing, we don't go.
Right. How often do you go fishing? It looks like you go fishing a lot.
Maybe once or twice every, like, 2 weeks.
Okay. That's not too bad. Now, do you do just the salt water, or do you do some freshwater stuff as well?
I do freshwater and salt water.
Okay.
I just started with the salt water.
Which is your favorite of the two so far?
I'm starting to like salt water a little bit more.
Why is that, do you think?
Because big sharks.
The different kind of fish?
Get some shark steaks.
Yeah, shark is pretty good. It has to be cooked the right way, but it's definitely not bad.
It's better than catfish, so I'm willing to try it.
Do you like catfish?
I like catfish a lot. Depends on how it's
done. I'll eat catfish. I don't know. I mean, I like probably crappie. That's probably my favorite. Catfish is, I don't know, there's something, it depends on the catfish, depends on where it comes from, it seems like. Some places, the catfish, they don't taste so good. Some places, it seems like if we get the catfish out of the river here, it's fine. But some of the ponds and the lakes that they're in are,
they taste like mud.
Yeah, they do. They're kind of nasty taste, gritty, dirty tasting, I guess is the word. Yeah, exactly. And with crappie, of course, you got a deal. You can't really, I don't know, it's hard to fillet a crappie, you know, and clean them out like you can a catfish. So it's definitely a little more work with those, getting them ready to cook. But they usually have a lot better flavor. So as far as, obviously, you fish a lot. Do you do any hunting?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. What are some of the things that you've hunted before?
Deer. I've not gotten a duck yet. Geese, squirrels, hogs.
Okay. Now you said geese, so have you bagged geese before?
Yes.
Awesome.
They taste good too.
Yeah, they do.
Rabbits taste even better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite wild game to eat?
Deer,
yeah. I agree. Have you gotten quite a few deer in your life hunting?
I've gotten 13 in the past 3 years.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a lot.
You can shoot 2 bucks and 10 does a year, so.
Wow, 10 does a year. That's crazy. See, we don't have that in Texas. That's insane. Wow. So it almost sounds like there's almost an overpopulation there.
When we go hunting, most of the time we see a lot of deer every single time.
Yeah, that's crazy because I think we get one here or something like that. It's pretty insane. Now, as far as that big buck, have you gotten a big buck yet?
Yes, I shot a 10-point in 2018.
Okay, very cool. Now, did you get a mount with that, or did you just keep the antlers, or what'd you do with all of that?
I got them shoulder mounted.
Okay. Now, do you have any other? Do you have any other mounts, or just that one?
We have a lot of mounts.
Do you? Okay. Very cool. Are there any that's kind of unique?
Bobcat, and we have an albino squirrel and a piebald squirrel.
An albino squirrel. That's pretty neat. How many of those have you seen before?
The one that we got.
That's it, huh? I don't know that I've ever seen an albino squirrel. So that's pretty cool.
Fox squirrel, too. In Georgia, they're pretty serious about squirrel hunting.
Right. Now, how do you typically squirrel hunt? Is it, do you walk around, or do you find a place and sit and wait on them? Do you call them with a squirrel call? What is that like when you go squirrel hunting?
Most of the time, we just walk around and call a little bit, but I also have a squirrel dog.
Oh, okay. That was, yeah. I can't believe I didn't ask that. What kind of dog is it?
Patterdale Terrier.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, the Terriers are a pretty good breed for stuff like that. Now, what exactly does, for those out there that have never heard maybe of squirrel hunting with a dog, what role does the dog play? What does it do?
Finds the squirrel and trees it.
Okay. So basically works kind of the same way as maybe with coon hunting then.
Yes.
Now, have you done any coon hunting before?
Well, I've done coon trapping.
Okay. Have you eaten any coon before?
People eat in Georgia, but I've tried them yet.
Right. Yeah, you could do some dumplings or something like that. Now, with the squirrel, since that's a big thing, do you typically eat those with, like, dumplings, like squirrel dumplings, or fry them, or what's that like when you go to cook them?
Fry them or grill them.
Oh, grill them, okay. I've never grilled squirrel before, but here in Texas, we don't have very big squirrel anymore. We did when I was like your age. I can remember I did a lot of squirrel hunting because my great-grandfather, he loved squirrels, so I would go, and I didn't even have to clean them, which was great. I could go get them, and he would he would clean them because he just loved to eat them, you know, so much that I knew if I took them to him, he would clean them for me. And, you know, I can remember a pretty big squirrel back then, and nowadays we just don't have that, you know, here in Texas. So are the squirrels there in Georgia, are they still pretty big?
If you get a gray squirrel, they're most of the time really small, but if you get a fox squirrel, mm-hmm. which they're a different kind, they can get up to like 5 pounds.
Right. Kind of like maybe a medium size or maybe a small cat or something like that.
Yeah, probably a small cat. Yeah. That's just that kind of squirrel.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. Somebody said one time before here that Texas got a really bad rash of fire ants that really kind of devastated the squirrel population. And ever since then, that they just, I don't know, they haven't gotten big for some reason. I don't know exactly what the deal is with that. So getting back onto your shooting sports here for a minute, I guess, with going to these different competitions and stuff that you do, about how often do you go to a competition nowadays?
Probably competition. It depends on the month, because some of the time there's a lot of matches really, really crowded up in certain months, but most of the time, like 1 to 3 matches a month.
Okay. That's a lot. That's definitely something that you better be serious about or something like that.
Definitely.
Now, with traveling to go to these matches, what is the farthest away that you guys have had to go to attend a match?
8 hours.
Okay.
Most of the time we don't go anything past 8.
Okay. And is that when you have to go that far, like say 8 hours, do you try to do that all in one trip, in one day, or do you typically stay the night somewhere and then come home the next day?
Most of the time we stay the night and come home the next day.
Okay. And what is that? Is that when you do that, I know there's some kiddos out there that they have trailers or, you know, mobile homes or something like that. You guys stay in just a motel or a hotel when you do that?
Hotel.
Okay. That can get expensive if you have to do that very often. So most of your matches, you said, you know, most of them are fairly close, you said. So do you do a variety of matches, or is there one in particular that you're focused more on at this point?
Right now I'm more focused on Steel Challenge than anything else. I'm a 4-time Steel Challenge Grandmaster in that, so.
Really? That's pretty cool. Now, what does that mean that you're a Grandmaster?
That's the highest classification that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes from D, C, B, A, Master, and Grandmaster.
Okay. And then how do they gauge that, or how do you get that level? What do you have to do?
Shoot a certain time. Well, they have like par times, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So the faster time, the higher your ranking?
Yes.
Okay. And is that something that once you get a ranking like Grandmaster, is that something that you have to keep shooting faster times to keep? Can you get bumped down? Can they take your rank away?
If you ask them, you can go back down, but they don't take your rank away.
Okay. I guess that's kind of a good thing. I mean, you would hate to have a bad day and then they take your rank away just because you had a bad day or equipment failure or something. That would be bad.
Definitely. That would be very bad.
So with let's talk about that for a minute. With having a bad day or things going wrong, it seems like that's bound to happen. It's always, you know, it's going to happen eventually. Have you had very many experiences where you've kind of had a bad day, your head wasn't in the game, or maybe you've had equipment failures or malfunctions or something like that?
I've had like malfunctions and equipment failure like 3 times.
And what do you do when something like that happens?
Take it to Ortiz Custom Guns in Savannah, and they fix it.
All right. Well, as far as in the match, have you had something like that happen in a match before?
Yes.
And what's the protocol? I mean, what do you have to do when something like that happens in a match?
Ask people maybe if they have any extra parts if it gets that bad, or you can DNF if it gets to a certain point.
Okay.
Which I'm not yet.
Right. So I'm guessing you have time. They give you time. You've got time in between stages. So if you can fix it, I guess, in between your stages, you're fine?
Yes.
Okay.
You can go to the safe area and oil it. Look at it.
Now, what if you're in the middle of a stage and something like that happens? Do you get to make up that stage, or do you just have to eat that time?
I mean, it depends. At a local match, they'll let you keep, like, say you shot two of your strings and your gun broke. You could go to the safe area, and if they're still on the stage, you can go back and shoot your other three.
But on the bigger matches, they don't necessarily allow that. That's what you're saying?
Depends. Right. It depends on who's running it.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's probably a lot, because, I mean, if there's a lot of people, a lot of competitors there, it's probably a time issue for them. If they let everybody do that, then they would potentially be there all day.
Yeah. It's up to the range master. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit, move away from shooting sports just a little bit, talk about some other things. Obviously, you fish and hunt. Are there any other hobbies that you have that are not shooting sports related?
Anything in the outdoors, and I do a little bit of lore building.
Okay, one more time, because I didn't understand what you said there. What was it again?
Everything in the outdoors, and I do a little bit of lore building, like woodworking.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's interesting. What are some of the, like, some of the stuff that you built before?
Mini models of guns, cars, fishing lures. Oh. I have a fly tying vise.
Really? Okay, that's cool. So you kind of make your own on flies?
Yes.
Do you do any fly fishing over there?
Not really.
Okay. I've only done it a couple times, and it's, I don't know, to me it's difficult. That's a whole other skill set with fly fishing.
I mean, it's definitely harder, but once you get the hang of it, it gets more easy.
Yeah. Now, what do you do if you tie some flies? Do you give those away to people, or you just put them on a shelf to look at them, and one day you may go fly fishing and use them, or what do you do with the stuff that you're building?
Use them.
Okay. Now, you said you made, you did some woodworking and made some guns. Are those strictly replicas? Do you, like, take one of the ones you've seen or you own and try to copy that? Or do you sometimes make up your own designs and your own little guns?
Most of the time I just do replicas, and I made some that shoot out like toothpicks.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I was fixing to ask, did you make any that actually worked? So that's kind of neat. Now, how do you build one that shoots out a toothpick? Do you have to put some springs or rubber bands or something in them, or how does that work exactly?
Rubber bands, or I make them out of clothespins too.
Oh, okay. Talking about your outdoor stuff, do you guys go camping very often?
No,
not really. Okay. Just more the fishing and hunting type stuff.
I'm not really into camping. More of the fishing and hunting.
Why don't you like camping? You don't like sleeping on the ground, or you don't like not having electricity? What is it about camping you don't like?
You sleep with the ticks.
The ticks and the chiggers. I get you. I understand. Well, I mean, they make sprays for that, so you have to get some, get you some repellent and go out, because Man, breakfast on a breakfast at a campsite is one of the best times you'll ever have in your life. You know, there's something about, I don't know, there's something about bacon and eggs and all that stuff done on a campfire. It's just, it's wonderful. And especially if you're, we used to do it on the, we used to camp out on the river banks. And so we would even have fish a lot of times with our breakfast in the morning, which is pretty cool. We would have, you know, bacon and eggs and fish and stuff even. So it got interesting.
You could set a trot line.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Do you guys do a lot of trot line, jug fishing and things like that?
No.
Not really?
But use a fishing pole, and in Georgia they use cane poles.
Yeah, certain places a cane pole's not not a bad idea. And I've certainly done my share of ran my share of trot lines over the years. Good gracious. And if you wanna catch a lot of fish, you know, really quick, that's definitely the way to do it. Now with school, you said that you were going into eighth grade. Do you go to a public school or a private school, or are you homeschooled?
Private homeschool.
So is that, do you actually do it there at the house, or you actually go somewhere else for school?
We do it at our house.
Okay, cool. Now is that kind of, nowadays, is that done a lot on the computer with your subjects and stuff?
Online, most of it.
Okay.
They send you books, but most of it's online.
Do it mostly online. I gotcha. And do you get to kind of do that at your own pace and your own schedule, or do you have certain times you have to do those classes?
Pretty much we do it all year.
But, I mean, do you have to get up early to do a certain class or take a class at a certain time, or it's just whatever time of the day you take it?
They don't give you a certain time.
Okay.
With the school I use, they give you 1 year.
Okay. So they kind of say, here's what you have to do, and you have to do it in a year. It doesn't matter when, as long as you get it done in a year, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with homeschooling, I usually ask the kiddos that come on what their favorite subject is, but with homeschool, there's a lot of subjects that you don't see with public school or sometimes even private school. But what's your favorite subject so far that you've covered in homeschool?
History.
Now, world history, ancient history, American history, or just history in general?
History in general.
Nothing wrong with that. What's some of your favorite stuff with history? What's some of the favorite stories or times in history that you like the best?
I guess the American settlers, and they make you do projects that are fun sometimes. Mm-hmm. Civil War.
If you had to pick a subject that you don't like, the subject that you hate, what would you say that would be?
Maybe science.
Okay. That's interesting. A lot of people like science. So why would you say science?
I don't know. Some of it gets pretty boring.
Right. Well, and you have, I don't know if you're into it yet. I don't know if you had to, like, learn the periodic table and that kind of stuff yet. But, yeah, I agree. Have you?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of gets boring when you get into that. I think that deals more with the chemistry side. Biology's pretty cool, you know, when you get to dissect the frogs and the earthworms and the stuff like that. That's kind of neat. I always thought that was kind of fun.
I get to dissect a deer.
Right? You've dissected a bunch of deer. So, and we didn't cover that as far as the game that you take and you bring home. I guess you guys do that yourself? You clean and process that yourself, or do you clean it and then take it to a processor?
Sometimes we gut it, but a lot of people in Georgia, for some reason, they don't gut their deer. They just bring them to the processor. The processor is like 10 minutes away from where we hunt, so we don't always get it unless we've been looking for it for a long time.
Right. It's the same way here. There's a processor I don't know, a mile down the road, maybe, for me. It's not very far. Oh, and they do good work, too. It's just a thing. We have the capability here to process our own, and sometimes that happens. But when you take it to a processor, especially when you start talking about the sausage and stuff like that, they've got their own recipe with the spices they use and all the other stuff that it's hard to duplicate that if you do it yourself.
Unless you buy a lot of money and equipment, it's easier just to take it to the processor.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And they, you know, like I said, they've got better equipment on top of that, and they know what they're doing. As far as, like I said, cutting things up, they do it so much, I suppose. With things like you were talking about the geese earlier, is that something that you clean out yourself with the geese, or do those go to a processor as well?
No, we do the geese and ducks ourselves.
Okay. And what's that process like to clean out a duck or a goose?
You just pluck them and take their breast out.
Right. And does it take a while to pluck out a duck or a goose, or does it go pretty quick?
Well, with the geese, we don't just get their breasts. We like burn off their feathers after you pluck them, mm-hmm. which takes a long time, and then you gut them, and then you can freeze them.
Gotcha. So you freeze them there. You kind of do those whole, is what you're saying?
Yes. It's just a waste of meat with a bird that big.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah.
Might as well eat the whole thing.
Right. Now, there's some stuff like, do you guys have any dove there in Georgia?
Yeah. A lot of dove. They do a lot of dove hunting here, too.
Okay. Yeah, dove, that's one of the things. Dove is great. I love dove, but, you know, yeah, you pop those breasts out, and that's about it. There's not really... not really any meat other than the breast, and depending on the size of the dove, even that's not a lot of meat. It takes a lot of dove to
fill it up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, is dove hunting something that you've done before?
Yes.
Because that's a little bit different than duck or geese. They tend to be move a little quicker.
Hard to hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Georgia, we don't have mallard ducks. We have wood ducks, and the wood ducks, they're very fast.
Yep. Yeah, we have wood duck here, too, and, yeah, you're absolutely right. Those little suckers are they're definitely quick. Now, when you're dove hunting or hunting geese, we haven't really talked, other than that 410, we haven't really talked about shotguns much. What shotgun are you using for that?
Beretta A400 20-gauge.
Okay, there you go. Are you having to use a bigger shell for something like that?
Since it's a 20-gauge, I use pretty hot 20-gauge because it's just not as powerful as a normal 12-gauge.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to buy the more expensive 3-inch shells.
Let's move on here. Let's talk about maybe some fun stuff. Do you do a lot of reading, Max?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not bad.
much as you have to, anyway. Is there a favorite book or magazine or something that you really enjoy reading?
Not really. I just
whatever.
Anything hunting or the outdoors, I read.
Okay. So maybe something like a Field and Stream or something like that.
Yes.
What about a favorite TV show or a movie?
Let me think. Maybe Elf, Wild Hogs, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. I also like the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. Not many kiddos get the Andy, you know, kind of understand the Andy Griffith Show. But yeah, the Andy Griffith Show is awesome. So that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. Your favorite fast food place to eat. Do you have one of those?
I like Culver's.
Okay.
if you had that in Texas.
I don't. We don't have that in Texas. At least I don't think. You said Culver's, right?
Yes.
But
yes,
I have eaten at a couple of those, and yeah, it's pretty good stuff. For those that don't know what Culver's is, what type of food does Culver's usually offer?
It's like Western. I think they're out of Wisconsin.
And what's your favorite? What you got? Something that you order every single time, or you just try something different, or have something different each time you go?
I like the buffalo chicken tenders.
Oh, okay. There you go. I gotta say, I've never had those, but they definitely—you can't go wrong with chicken tenders, that's for sure. And buffalo chicken tenders, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Depends on how I feel. I'll get something different.
Right. Well, they've got quite a bit on the menu, so that's not difficult to do. So let's talk a little bit about moving forward and maybe things coming up. Is there anything coming up shooting sports-wise that you're looking forward to in the next days, weeks, or months?
Rimfire Worlds, and my favorite match of the year is Pro-Am.
Now, have you been to Rimfire Worlds before?
I couldn't make it last year.
You said Pro-Am. Now, what exactly is Pro-Am?
It's like a knockdown steel style match, and they give you a par time, and you can only have 10 rounds in your magazines for the handguns.
So is it a shoot and move, or are you just standing in a box with Pro-Am?
A shoot and move.
It is a shoot and move. Okay. That's kind of cool. And you've shot, have you shot Pro-Am in the past? I'm assuming you have.
Yes.
Okay. So both of those, have you got both of those coming up pretty quick then, you say?
Yes.
And where are they at? Do you have to travel very far for those?
Pro-Am is in Florida, and Rimfire Worlds is in Arkansas, which is pretty far for us.
Yeah, Arkansas is fun. It's a pretty place. That should be a fun trip anyway.
It'll be pretty close to Oklahoma, I think, so.
Looks like we are up against our time. Looks like Max. So I want to take a minute before we get out of here. And it's just in case there's anybody out there that kind of wants to follow what you're doing. I know I follow your Instagram out there. There's some pretty cool stuff that you keep posted on that. But as far as social media, if somebody wants to kind of check out and follow along with what you're doing, you're obviously on the Instagram. Do you know the name for the Instagram account? Because I don't have it with me.
Instagram is @MaximusOutdoors. Facebook is /MaximusOutdoors. And my YouTube channel is MaximusOutdoors. And I also have a website.
Really?
Which is www.maximusoutdoors.com.
There you go. So you got all the bases covered. One thing that we forgot is to talk about sponsors a little bit. Do you have any sponsors?
Yes.
Okay. Let's give them a shout out real quick before we get out of here.
So Core Rifle Systems, which I shoot their C9 and their Core 15 for hunting, GTO Airboats, Ortiz Custom Guns, of course, Hunter's HD Gold, Pro Shop Products, which is gun cleaning and targets, Elf Tactical, which is their triggers, Dara Holsters, Tac Belts, Tactical Solutions, which I'm getting their 1911-22, Talon Grips, and Porterfield Knives.
Okay, wow, that's quite a few. So, yeah, I'm going to say thanks to all of those companies for, you know, helping out Max, and then I'm sure the other kiddos that they probably support as well. It definitely is appreciated.
Well, and you can discount codes, which can be found in my highlights on my Instagram, or you can DM me.
Okay, there you go. Even better. That's awesome that they offer something like that. Well, Max, I want to thank you for coming on, for having a little talk. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
I have too. Thank you for having me on. I just want to say thank you to all my sponsors and for making this possible.
That is all for this episode of Next Generation. Please visit us at clovertac.com for links to more content available on a variety of platforms. If you would like to support our effort while enjoying some cool perks, you can check us out over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertac. We encourage you to support and volunteer with youth shooting sports organizations when and where you can. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, have fun and stay safe.